JC Corcoran Podcast.
I'm going to Las Vegas, dun, 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 dun. There's nothing that can shake us, dun, 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 dun. If employment's getting slow, dun, 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 dun. We can bet to make our dough, dun, 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 dun. You can start with nothing flat, dun, 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 dun. At least you know right where you're at. You in the day on top the world, dun, 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 dun. And with a true American girl, dun, 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 dun. Las Vegas, Nevada, dun, 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 dun. All lit up in neon, dun, 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 dun. Do you wanna gamble, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun.
Come on and bet some, dun,
come on and bet some.
Love me, love me, love me, do.
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 I love you will be true.
I love you will be true.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, it keeps on love me do it. It repeats the Las Vegas and love me do.
Wait a minute, sir. Wait, you got a guy on the phone. What's your name, sir?
Paul.
Paul, would you help with the dun 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 duns with Sai?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Continue, Sai.
One more time, Sai.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, March 14th, 2022, 247 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have not. And how you doing, kids? It's JC. That is a rhetorical question. I know how you're doing. You lost an hour of sleep over the weekend. You're feeling it this morning. I know that because I'm right there with you. I almost took the day off today. My daughter's spring break begins today, so all hell's breaking loose. And I'm telling you, I was sitting here last night, 7, 8 o'clock, going, Where do I start today? There's so many huge, enormous stories that broke over the weekend that I don't even know where to start. Let's start with the weather, though, because on Saturday morning, you know, you're watching the news. Your house probably smells a little funny because the furnace is just churning away because the temperature is 18 degrees above zero, and people are dressed up like Nanook of the North getting ready for the St. Patrick's Day, and I love this, fun run. Yes, the fun, because nothing says fun like a wind chill factor below zero at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. I watched a little bit of the I don't think I've had C-SPAN on in 100 years, but I was channel surfing the other day, and it actually did catch my eye because they were having congressional hearings about daylight savings time. And they're all sitting there smiling and laughing about it, and it's like, why is this so funny? Okay, maybe they're not, you know, having hearings and getting ready to make a vote on military aid to Ukraine, but still, it's sort of a big deal. You know, nobody wants to be moving the clocks around back and forth. It's something like 25% of those people polled. So, oh, yeah, keep doing that. I'm sure if you took a poll and say, how many people would like an ice pick to the retina, you'd come up with 20 or 25%. Daylight savings time started over the weekend. The debate continues as to why we're still doing this. For what it's worth, we did try. I don't remember this in 74 and 75, probably because I was just getting out of college at the time and I had other things on my mind. But I don't remember this. In 74 and 75, Nixon came along and said, yeah, we're going to try this. We're going to try getting rid of the daylight saving time thing and just have kids go to school in the dark. Over a dozen states have passed laws to make it permanent, and at least 28 more have bills in the works, but they can't go into effect until the federal government says it's okay, and that hasn't happened yet. The main argument against it seems we just don't know what the effects would be, but of course, switching the clocks twice a year has an effect too. I used to live in Fort Wayne, Indiana back in the 70s, and that's one of the places, and I think there were only two places, Arizona and Northeast Indiana, that did this, where they just ignored moving the clocks back and forth, and just you never touched your clock. So like all summer, the late news is on at 10 o'clock, and then in the fall, it's on at 11 o'clock. Part of the year, you were on Central Time, so if somebody called you from Chicago, it was the same time in Northeast Indiana as it was in Chicago, and then the other 6 months out of the year, you were an hour ahead. Now, that wasn't confusing at all. As most of you know, I spend part of my time in the Tampa Bay area, bounce back and forth between St. Louis and Florida all the time for the last couple of years. And I will tell you, in Florida, like on television with the sports reporters and stuff like that, everybody was saying, no, there's no way. I can tell you one thing, Tom Brady is not going to do what Brett Favre did, where, you know, you're playing and then you're not playing, you're playing, you're not playing, you're retired, you're not retired. I can guarantee you he's not going to do that. So yesterday, Tom Brady came along and said, yes, I am. See? Talk about this all the time. It's the Sports Insider. The Sports Insider would have you believe that he or she knows everything that is going on inside the organization. They are close to the players, and you'll hear about it here first. And then Tom Brady makes the announcement, and everybody gets it at exactly the same time. You know, for a guy who's had a football career his entire life, he's home for a month with the wife and kids, wakes up one day and says, yeah, I think I'd rather be crushed by a 375-pound linebacker than another month of this. And he's got a supermodel as a wife. So he's coming back for a 23rd season. He's got to stay with the Bucs. You know, there was some discussion that he wanted to come back, but he wanted to play for a different team. And the Bucs organization said, we have this thing called a contract, Tom, and we know that you're bigger than the game, one individual bigger than the game itself, but we still have this piece of paper with your signature on it, and if you do come back, you're playing in Tampa, and so he will. And then there's the guy who paid $518,628 for what he thought was Tom Brady's final touchdown ball. And I don't think there's anything the guy can do to get his money back. No fraud involved because the people who sold it didn't know that Tom Brady was going to turn, or maybe they did, I don't know. Where's Morley Safer when you need him? This is above my pay grade. But somebody observed that the Major League Baseball players lockout, the work stoppage lasted longer than Tom Brady's retirement. I'm hesitant to get into this discussion about Albert Pujols coming back for another year and being the DH for the Cardinals now that the DH has been forced on all of us National Leaguers. Albert did not look good at the plate last year. All right, maybe when there was a left-hander out there once in a while. But that's the other thing that's going to happen. Now, you're going to have these transient players who just come in for a year, perform as the DH because their career is just about over. And the following year, they're gone. One guy who will not be around to tell you about it is Joe Buck, because he is going along with his buddy Troy over to ESPN. This is not going to help the rumors that have been circulating about Joe Buck for the last 10 or 15 years. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to repeat it, but you know what I'm talking about. But Joe and Troy will be back in the broadcast booth together starting this fall. And I can't remember whether ESPN still has a contract with Major League Baseball to broadcast a couple of rounds of the playoff games. I'm going to have to go back and look at that because I can't remember. That would be funny if ESPN still had some baseball games for the playoffs, and so Joe Buck could still do baseball, but he would come out and go alongside me is Troy Aikman. He never leaves my side, even for baseball. Things haven't gotten any better with the war. As a matter of fact, things have gotten a lot worse. I've told this story a couple of times, but I was old enough to remember in 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis. I guess I had just turned 9 years old. And when JFK came on to announce all the stuff that was going on with the missiles being pointed at us back in 1962 and the Soviet Union being behind the whole thing. And then Kennedy set up a blockade so that ships going in and out of Cuba couldn't do so anymore. And, you know, we were sitting there going, are we going to have a nuclear war here? We came very, very close. A lot of people, most people close to the situation will tell you that we were about 15 minutes away from some sort of nuclear activity. Or as Walter Cronkite described it, there goes the whole ball game. But I don't even saw this story. It was done by a gal from CBS News who's covering the war over there. And she's talking to this gal in Poland, and her mother still lives in Russia. And she said, talk to her mom on the phone. Her mother refuses to believe that there's a war going on or that Putin invaded Ukraine, because all you get on Russian TV in terms of the news is what they want you to know. It's like they say, whoever controls the media controls the narrative. And the first thing somebody like Putin does in a situation like this is grab hold of the media, although Russian TV news has never exactly been known for being an example of freedom of the press. But the mother is sitting there going, no, Vladimir Putin would never do anything like that, because that's what they're being told. But when you got missiles going off, what they say, 11 miles from a NATO country, that would be Poland, that's not a good sign. I think this could be the make it or break it week for this war. Something's going to have to happen. I don't think that this week is going to be an example or demonstration of a holding pattern in the war. I'm just afraid something really big is going to happen. And you know, you get to veteran reporters and commentators like George Will, who was on Stephanopoulos yesterday. Not on the show, just literally on George Stephan. No, but he was on. And he couldn't even figure out what to say, because nobody wants to say the words. The words are, you have a no-fly zone. That's World War III. A lot of people think we're already in World War III. And it's only a matter of time before Putin either uses chemical weapons or one of those bombs goes off in Poland. And then if you're Joe Biden, you can't just sit there and not do anything. You got to do something. And the response has to be, as they say, proportionate. But if you're a parent, aunt, uncle, grandfather, grandmother, whatever the case may be, and you got a little kid, you know, a little three-year-old, and you say, stay, don't you dare go to that cookie jar. I told you, you're going to be in big trouble if you put your hand in that cookie jar, and then the kid puts his hand in the cookie jar. You can't just walk away and let him get away with it. That's all this is. But I remember 1962, and I remember the color coming out of my father's face when JFK went on television to announce all that stuff with regard to the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it looked like it was more likely that there would be a war rather than there would be peace. And I guess my dad was probably in his 30s at the time. And I'm thinking to myself, is my dad going to have to go back into the army? He had already, you know, done his time. He had served his country. He was out as a civilian, but now, was the whole thing going to start up again? Was I going to lose my dad? But I'm watching less and less of the coverage of the war, not because I'm not interested, but it's just not good for my head. I just can't watch that much of that stuff. And it doesn't help that they won't take the little bug in the screen that says breaking news. They won't take that off the screen. CNN, all of the news organizations, the whole day it's breaking news. Which brings us to the issue of William Hurt. Died yesterday from natural causes. Now, he had had prostate cancer a couple of years back and was on some sort of experimental drug, I believe. And they said that it was in remission, but I guess it came back. And technically, they have not ruled that as the cause of death. They're just saying natural causes. But 71, pretty early to be dying these years. A lot of people probably know William Hurt as General Thunderbolt Ross in the Marvel movies, but his career goes all the way back to, well, in 85, won the Oscar for Kiss of the Spider-Woman, was also nominated for Children of a Lesser God, Broadcast News, History of Violence. He was great in Body Heat, The Good Shepherd, Altered States, Lost in Space, the reboot of that, and of course, The Big Chill. which brought up an interesting discussion on Facebook yesterday. Yeah, I know a lot of people who say The Big Chill is their all-time favorite movie, but they're still very vague as to whether or not they understand the relationship between the title of the movie and what goes on in the movie. It's not like anybody ever says, you know, in the actual movie itself, The Big Chill. Those words are never spoken. So at the end, you're like, okay, that's a really good movie. I really liked it. But it's called The Big Chill. So what does that mean? So movie came out in the early 80s, and it wasn't until sometime in the early 90s that I actually met the director of the movie, Lawrence Kasdan. And so I asked him, and he says to me, and I got this on tape, by the way, I'd have to dig it up, but it is on tape. And he says, well, you know, it's that feeling you get when you think you know somebody and then they do something or they say something or there's some sort of development in your relationship that tells you, my God, I never knew this person at all. And that's when you are overcome by the big chill. So I put that up on Facebook yesterday, and somebody almost immediately sends back an IMDb thing where Lawrence Kasdan gives a completely different reason for the name of the movie, The Big Chill. Well, like I said, I got mine on tape, and I guess it is possible that maybe he changed his own mind. Maybe he didn't know what the meaning really was, or maybe he just told different versions to different people. But some people will remember this. Back in the 90s, there was a movie shot in St. Louis called The Big Brass Ring. And I know what you're saying. Huh? Never heard of it. Yeah, I mean, it came out and just didn't do anything. But William Hurt was the star of the movie. And the whole thing was shot in St. Louis. A lot of St. Louis actors. I actually was hired as an extra, but it was one of those great stories where you get all dressed up, you're going to be an extra in the movie, and you sit there for like 11 hours, and they still haven't called you, and you're like, I got a job I got to go to, and I left, so I never made it in the movie. However, in the closing credits, director George Hickenlooper put my name in there. Put my name in the credits. The name, by the way, misspelled. Thank you, George, from The Great Beyond. Well, I remember interviewing William Hurt. I'm trying to remember what the movie it was. It might have been this awful John Travolta movie called Michael. Yeah, Michael. Terrible movie. But I remember walking in, he was just so quiet and calm and reserved. Pretty serious guy, although he did have that little twinkle in his eye that you thought to yourself, maybe I could get something out of him, but I don't remember the interview being particularly memorable. But he was nice. But again, 71, that's awfully early to be checking out these days. Alec Baldwin's daughter, Haley, married to Justin Bieber, hospitalized in Palm Springs last week when she thought she was having a stroke. You know, when you hear stuff like this, like, oh God, somebody needs publicity, so she almost died. Well, it turned out she almost did. It ended up being a small blood clot in her brain that her body was able to pass on its own. She has had a full recovery, but that's pretty scary. Also getting not any less scary is this thing going on between Kanye West and Pete Davidson. Now, Pete Davidson supposedly sent Kanye a selfie where he was in bed with Kim Kardashian. He also told Kanye he wanted to meet face-to-face to settle their differences. Pete also tells Kanye somewhere in all these messages that are flying back and forth over the weekend that Saturday Night Live has wanted to lampoon Kanye for months, but he wouldn't let him. And he's even stopped other comedians from doing bits about him. He says, quote, I have your back, even though you treat me like shit, but if you continue to press me, I'm going to stop being nice. Well, there's gold in them thar hills. If you don't mind doing the twang like Dolly Parton, Shania Twain, Taylor Swift, they got money. They got a lot of money. Somebody published this over the weekend. The 10 richest female country artists. Dolly Parton's got $650 million. Shania Twain, Taylor Swift tied $400 million each. My soon-to-be ex-wife, Sheryl Crow, and as you know, there was a period of time back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where I really did believe that maybe I could become betrothed with Sheryl Crow. I have a pretty good friend who is one of her best friends, went to school with her, is actually from Kennett, Missouri, has known her his entire life, but it's like anything else. You know, when you're dealing with celebrities, one of the ways of remaining friends with a big celebrity is not doing things like, oh, you want to go out with Sheryl? Oh, yeah, here's her phone number. Give her a call. Bill won't do that, and so I can't get her number, and so it's hard to become engaged with somebody who's unreachable to you. But Sheryl Crow, they have her on this list of country music stars because she's really been touring with country singers, and her music has been leaning a little bit in the country direction for a while now. She's got $70 million. Not bad for a girl from Kennett. All right, on television late night tonight, Marissa Tomei on with Jimmy Fallon, Lin-Manuel Miranda on with Kimmel. Colbert's got Sandra Bullock, Venus Williams, Zach Braff on with James Corden, and Seth Meyers has Holly Hunter. Pat Mahomes, oop, I called him Pat, that angers his mother. Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Matthews, they've been dating since high school. They got married over the weekend. Both the former president, Barack Obama, and Sean Penn have tested positive for COVID. The Batman, another big week at the box office. I think it was, what, $56 million again over the weekend? And Keith Richards, who came out of the womb smoking a cigarette, has stopped smoking after 55 years. Birthdays today, Simone Biles, 25, Steph Curry, 34, Sasha Gray. She had a major role as herself on Entourage when she started dating Vince, and he tried to get her to stop making porn. She's made that almost impossible jump to mainstream from porn, was in The Girlfriend Experience with Steven Soderbergh, directed that thing, a multiple personality thriller called The Scribbler, and a decent little horror movie called Would You Rather. She's 34 today. Wow, only 34. Billy Crystal, who got the Lifetime Achievement Award at the We Want to Be on TV Awards last night. I forget what that show is called. Billy Crystal, 74. Quincy Jones, 89. He's been nominated for 80 Grammys. He's won 28. And Michael Caine, just plain and simply one of the best actors that we've been able to watch for the last 50 years, is 89 today. My daughter needed shorts, athletic shorts, over the weekend, so she wants to go to Dick's because she thinks they're going to have them there. And I'm like, oh, God, Dick's. Tube socks, $89.99. Baseball hats, $115. I don't know how they price their merchandise at Dick's. Anyhow, we go in there on Saturday, and the store is, you know, relatively busy. It's not packed. There's a lot of people in the store. So they have four fitting rooms, and we're walking all over, and all of the fitting rooms have that little sign on the little front that says occupied. So we're like, well, let's just pick one out and wait it out. So, of course, we get the booby price. We're standing there, and we're waiting, and I'm like looking at the clock now. I had happened to just glance at the clock when we walked up to the fitting room, so I knew how many minutes we had waited. We're now at 22 minutes that somebody is in the fitting room. Now, finally, at the 22-minute mark, the door opens up and a woman walks out, and I grab the door and I sort of give her the stink eye, and I grab the handle and I start to go in. She goes, there's somebody still in there. And I'm like, what? I let go of the door, it closes, and there goes the occupied little sign again. So they've already been in there 22 minutes. Now they're in there easily another 10. And I'm like, who the fuck is in there? What, are they being fitted for a goddamn wedding dress? Finally, a door opens up. It's a really geeky looking guy. Looks like Paul Blart, mall cop. He opens up the door and walks out with a little girl, presumably his daughter, Sir Hope, that's what it was. And he's giving me the stink eye. And I'm thinking to myself, how inconsiderate can you be that you're in a fitting room, one of only four fitting rooms in the whole store on a busy Saturday afternoon, and you are in there for a half an hour? No, but that's my fault. Yesterday was Selection Sunday, which kicks off the official March Madness stuff. An estimated $10 billion, with a B, $10 billion will be wagered on games this year, which is about 30% more than the Super Bowl. The four number one seeds, Gonzaga, Baylor, Arizona, and Kansas. For the first time since seeding began in 79, the ACC has only one team among the top four seeds. That's Duke, number two seed. Gonzaga, number one. Meanwhile, the people at Kraft Foods have lost their minds. They now have an ice cream that tastes like Kraft macaroni and cheese. They released this last year, and the supply sold out in an hour. Starting today, you can get it at Walmart. They've also got new pizza-flavored ice cream. Like, gag me with a spoon. Another one of these great stories coming out of Florida, the 65-year-old hugging bandit. It's a woman. She targeted older men. She'd come up to them at stores, act like she knew the guy, give him a big hug. The guy's standing there going, who the hell are you, lady? And while she's hugging him, she's picking her pockets. They caught her yesterday. Big question for a lot of people. Is it okay to use cheap, regular gas in your car. Well, if you got a high-performance car, you're driving a Jag, Maserati, something like that, even a BMW or a Mercedes, you're supposed to get premium gas. So the answer is, can you use cheap regular gas in your car? Yeah, unless you're driving one of these fancy-ass cars, yeah, you probably can. But don't use the cheapest gas you can find every time, because cheap gas stations don't add as many detergents, while bigger brands like Chevron and Exxon use top-tier fuel. So splurging on brand-name gas once or twice a year is good because it helps clean your engine. One of the things I've always been told, and I don't know if this is true or not, so I'll have to look it up, or if you know, you tell me. And you can email me anytime, jc at jcontheline.com. We're also on Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran, if it's easier for you to send me a message there. But somebody told me a long time ago never to buy gas at a gas station where the tanker is there emptying a new supply of gasoline into the underground tanks at the gas station. Because what that does is the activity, shall we say, of the new gasoline, the fresh gas from the truck being pumped into the tank underground, raises all the sediment in the gas station tank underground. And that's the stuff that starts floating around. If it gets in your engine, that'll screw up your engine and screw it up good sometime. Engines don't like, impurities of any kind. So I've always followed that. I just had that situation maybe 2 months ago. I'm sitting, I'm kissing E, and I pull up, and it's like, oh, God, there's the tanker. I'm getting out of here. Oh, and we close with one more football note. Antonio Brown. Remember this guy playing for Tampa Bay? And all of a sudden, right before halftime, he just basically strips down, takes his jersey, shoulder pads off. He's got no clothing on from the waist up. And the game is going on, and he's prancing around in the end zone on his way to the locker room saying that he quit. And then the accusations start flying back and forth. He's accusing Tom Brady of stuff. He's accusing the head coach, Bruce Arians, of stuff. They're accusing him of stuff. It's going on and on and on. But then the story dies down. It's replaced by other stories that take up our attention. And you're thinking to yourself in the back of your mind, well, that's the last time he's ever going to play in the NFL. Well, you'll be happy to know Antonio Brown says he wants to play for the Dallas Cowboys. And you know what they say. Everybody deserves a seventh chance. And with that, we say bye-bye for Monday. Excuse me, I'm choking here. Monday, March 14th, 2022. 247 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We're here absolutely free Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, or we're going to be late today. Oh, crap, my fault. It's absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, everything's archived right here. Again, email me, jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. We're in the top 10 of all podcasts in the country. Please continue to spread the word, and let's stay right there. And enjoy your day. In the meantime, eating this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.